Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go. Say, had to go. Through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Say noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? You may be seated. Oh, my goodness. How many were here last Sunday? Some of you think this goes with last Sunday, and I guess it sort of does. I just didn't plan it to go with last Sunday this way. If you weren't, that's okay. I'll catch you up. It's like Rocky 2. You can kind of watch it on your own, you know. Some people say Godfather 2. I can't say that, can I? It's better than Godfather 1. We talked about last week a wedding. We talked about how that Abraham, and we talked about typology, which theologians use a term to describe the foreshadowing of the coming Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The Old Testament and New Testament are a perfect reflection of each other. And it's written by many different authors, many of which have never even written each other's works. You have to understand that. We think we've got a Bible, we've got one book. But they collected these scrolls from all over, and it was put together later. Many of these authors didn't even have access to the other authors' works, yet it fits together in perfect unison. And it's like a reflection of each other. In typology, we talked about that. Abraham's like God the Father, remember. The son Isaac, the promised son, is like Jesus Christ, and the servant's like the Holy Spirit. And we are like the bride. We are like the bride. And so, as we know, God gave Abraham a powerful destiny, a powerful purpose. And God has given us a powerful purpose. I need you to stick with me, man. I know there's a lot going on, but I need you to stick with me. I need your help right here. So, God gave Abraham a powerful purpose and destiny, and it was in the form of Isaac. He was not supposed to be able to have children. And it was a miracle, and many people think the miracle stops with the birth of the child. We remember we covered last week, the miracle doesn't stop with the birth of the child. You've got to feed the child. You've got to take care of the child. God has put a dream down in you. He's put a destiny down in you. But the first time He reveals it to you, the first time it's birthed, when you come to an altar and you say some prayer, that's an awesome thing. It's the birth of the baby. It's the birth of the dream. But it's not over at that point. You've got to feed the dream. You've got to take care of the dream. You've got to water the dream. You've got to see the dream go up big and strong, and you've got to see it come to pass. So Abraham was given a dream. And Isaac, destiny. But it didn't stop at the birth. He had to grow up. And he had to grow up strong. And then as Abraham got old, Sarah, the old wife, was put away. And we talked about that. We talked about the son being sacrificed. And then we talked about the Holy Spirit or the servant being sent to get the bride. And we talked, where did they go to get the bride? They went to the well. Why? Because when you want a bride, you go to thirsty people. The Holy Spirit's looking for thirsty people. And we talked about what characteristics the Holy Spirit was looking for. He was looking for somebody that was not only about the blessing, he was not only about the ring in the nose and the gold bracelets, but she was about taking care of the camels. She was about the work. She was about the work. The Holy Spirit's not just to give you goosebumps. We've had a good time, but this is not the end of it all. If we come here just for this, we've had a good time. You can have a good time a lot of places. But it's what this good time does out there. It's what it changes in you. It's what you go out this door and do with it. We've had too many times when we have buildings and people get together and they have a good time, but nothing changes in the world. The Holy Spirit's about change. Change in this world. A destiny. A dream. Too many of us walk without purpose. We exist, but we do not live in purpose. It's time the church gets called out for this doctrine or theology where we believe in coming and saying a couple words and nothing changes and you're all right. Not biblical. Nowhere in that Bible. It's all about change. We must be changed. It starts with some words. But what are you going to do when you get up? You've got to be changed. I remember being a kid and I had that theology in my head and I just, you know, my thinking was I can do what I want. I just, every night I better say, Lord, forgive me my sins and save my soul. Do what I want. And then hope, you know, I hope if I die, I get that 1 second. You know, I hope I see that car coming. I can talk real fast. God bless me. I can talk fast. But nothing changed. We've got to get out of that doctrine, out of that idea. We've got to change. We've got to change. We've got to not be satisfied with seeing change in these walls, but change out there. Change in the community. Hey, if there's hungry kids, get up and do something about it. If we're dancing around here on Sunday, feed some children. Help some drug addicts. Help some suicidal youths. Do something. Amen, Eddie. So change. Change. And we talked about the beautiful bride. And if you remember the bride in the Old Testament, 2,000 years prior to Christ, she was perfect, wasn't she? She was a virgin. Boy, that was a desired characteristic. She'd never been with a man. She was beautiful. Beautiful. She was at the well at the right time. She was right there when she's supposed to be. You see, in that culture, women would go to the well in numbers because of safety. We talked about this a little bit last week. Once in the morning to get water, and once at night to get water. So the servant of Abraham went to find the beautiful virgin Rebecca at evening time, where all the beautiful women, good virtuous women, are supposed to be. All the good people of the world are supposed to be. See, sometimes we focus our whole church activities on a Sunday morning inside a building because that's where all the good people are supposed to be. The shiny, happy people. Can you sing that? No, we're not doing that. The shiny people. The happy people. The virgins. The white. The ones we all want. The ones the religious people just love having come in. Oh, look how talented. Look how much they can tithe. Look how they can sing. Look at their musical instruments. I want those people. Rebecca. But 2,000 years, you know, we said 3 days changes everything. 2,000 years changes a lot of things. And so between this bride that we preached about last Sunday and this account in John 4, which I'm calling a wedding, is 2,000 years. 2,000 years went by. Now some of you say, well, wedding, I've heard of the woman at the well. I don't remember a wedding. But my friend, this is a wedding. This is a wedding. Because Jesus came to this earth looking for a bride. And I want you to pay attention to some things in this account. You remember when Rebecca, when the servant approached her, she was so courteous. She was so perfect. How many in here are perfect? Yeah, some of you was getting ready to see me punch somebody in the throat, right? But she was so perfect. He asked her for a drink. And this little perfect girl said, here's you a drink, and I'll go spend all day drawing water for your camels. Whoa, what a great attitude. Man, if everybody came in the door with that attitude, right? Whoa, would you like a drink? Yeah, come on, I'll give you all you want. Here's my life. I'm perfect. I'm a virgin. I'm beautiful. What an idealistic life. What an idealistic bride. But you know, real life don't always look like that. And 2,000 years later, Jesus realized, he knew all along, but he demonstrates, we realize, he demonstrates that the bride doesn't necessarily look like Rebecca. The bride isn't necessarily the virgin. The bride, and thank God, you know, if you got a virtuous woman, that we could get in Proverbs, but the bride isn't always the right place at the right time. The bride isn't always helpful. The bride isn't always open. The bride isn't always just easy to deal with. The bride doesn't always, you know, just say, oh, I'll use me anyway. Pastor, use me anyway. Sometimes the bride causes trouble. Sometimes the bride argues. Sometimes the bride don't look right. Sometimes the bride may be beat down. Sometimes the bride comes with baggage. Sometimes we come here with baggage. So Jesus went looking for a bride. And I want you to pay attention to some things. One thing, he was on the wrong side of town. He wasn't in the shiny building with the shiny people, with the people with umpteen degrees. He wasn't in that place. He went looking for a bride. And he went to a place where people were rejected and they were discriminated against. They didn't look the part. They were a mixed race of people and they weren't very well liked. He went to the people that nobody liked. The purpose of this thing, I'm telling you what, I'm about to launch. I don't know if I can get through this thing. From the very beginning, God put a spark. I didn't even know what it meant. And he put a spark in other people. He put a spark in him. But he put a spark in many of you. And he put us all together as only God can do it. But he put a spark in a ministry and said, we're going to go where nobody else wants to go. We're going to go to the ones that nobody cares about. Nobody cares about. They don't look the part. They don't smell the part. They're not virgins. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're not always the most helpful people. But we will go and we will find His bride. We will go. So it says, the Bible says, he first of all, that he went to Samaria. And I want you to pay attention to the word. It says he had to go through Samaria. On first inspection, that is seems like a contradiction, because that actually is not the way to go. Understand that. At that time period, Jews would not go through Samaria. It was the shortest way to go, but they went out of their way. There's people right now, they know where people are hurting. They've got family members hurting. They know where people are suffering, and they'll go out of their way so they don't even have to look them in the eye, and they call themselves Christians. So the Jews would go out of their way to avoid these people. To avoid these people. But Jesus had to go. Some of you say, are you going to go to prison? Are you going to do this? Are you going to go to brown bag? Are you going to do that? Sometimes we just got to go. Because there's hurting people. I don't have a choice sometimes. I don't have a choice sometimes. Oh, I know this stuff, and we're not into that. We're not teaching works. But sometimes I wonder about people who call themselves Christians. They never, I'm not talking about 100%, I'm talking about 0%. They never go to less fortunate, hurting people. The Word of God said Jesus had to go. If you've never heard me preach, I'm not always warm and fuzzy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God told me a long time ago, He said, you're here to call down fire. I could tell you that story. One of these days I will. Some of you, a few of the old timers, I call them relatively old timers, 5 years. Remember my testimony. I could tell you how God, I had a God experience, and He told me right up front. He told me I wouldn't be popular. This was real. He told me. He told it old logical. I used to teach logic, and I didn't believe in stuff like this. I used to be a big fan of logical proofs and logical things, and I could just tell you everything, I thought. But He told me that I would bring down fire and it wouldn't be popular. But you know what? I don't care, like our brother said about Mr. Wesley or these old revivalists of old. I don't care if you all run me off. I don't care if every church in this county runs me off. I'll be on the street corners and I'll be preaching fire. I'll be preaching the gospel and I will preach the truth. And you know what? I'm not alone. I don't want to get that kind of pride either. Oh, look at me and my juniper tree. I'm Elijah. I'm the only one. There's 7,000 more. There's 7,000 more. There's 7,000 more. There's 7,000 more. There's more coming. And you ain't seen nothing yet. You think I'm fiery? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. There's fire coming that I can't even comprehend. Back there, there's fire coming that you can't comprehend. They're taking lunches to people that there's going to be fire out of that you can't comprehend. The world says, don't you go to those people. Don't you take them that food. But we have to. to go because, friend, we're looking for a bride. We're looking for a bride. Somebody told me they hadn't heard me in a while, and they said, boy, you're louder than you used to be. Somebody said, why you got to be so loud? You know what? Just passionate. Just passionate. You know, there's people that they go to ball games and races. They go to Jimmy Buffett concerts and all these other kind of concerts. And they sit there. Not many of them. I've really not seen any, but we'll go with it. And they sit there. No, not usually. They're passionate. But I was original Michael Jordan. I was the goofball that had the full flight suit. Y'all remember that? Full flight suit. You step in it like coveralls. Had a flight suit. I did. The original, the first shoes, I wish I still had. I was going to be like Mike. And when Mike would take off from that foul line, oh, man, I would cheer and I would scream and everybody would join me. Nobody looked at me and said, why are you so loud? Why are you so loud? But you know what? 5 years ago, God wrecked me. God changed my life. God gave me a purpose. All Michael Jordan did was charge me $150 for a pair of shoes. But God saved my soul. God cured my depression. God saved my marriage. God saved my family. So excuse me if I get a little excited, but I got something to be excited about. Don't you have something to get excited about? So Jesus went looking for a bride. We're going to have a wedding in a strange place. A place where no good, respectable Christians would be. You know, we laid our hands on that. We went to that Applebee's bar. We got there early and we laid hands on it. We weren't praying for furniture. You can't pray for furniture. Well, some of you may think you can. We'll talk about that. I don't know. If you do, you got it. We were praying because we knew there were going to be lonely, hurting people sitting there later. It was just a symbolic act for us to say some people are going to sit in this place later tonight that needs to know that God loves them. And that I'm not here to judge you. If you're in here and you say, boy, this is all crazy and fast, these people think they're bad. I'm not here to judge you. I don't know where you've been, and I hope you don't judge me. Works two ways, doesn't it? He's just a preacher. He's just a lawyer. He's got it made. He's got a good life. Oh, he can get up there and say that. He don't know what it's like to hurt like I do, to be addicted like I do, to have a broken home like I do. He doesn't know what I feel. He doesn't know my drama. He doesn't know my dirty laundry. So see, judgment goes two ways, don't it? Judgment goes two ways. I'm not here to judge you. Don't you judge me. So Jesus went looking for a bride in a place where nobody else would go. And the woman was surprised. Oh, some of you know this feeling. You go up to people in a setting they're not used to encountering somebody. And they see you, they know you're a preacher, and they think you're going to be a certain way. And you just go up and be real with them. You just go up and start talking to them. Not like I'm high and mighty. I may sing some Sting or some kind of goofy thing and talk sports and talk MMA fights, and they're going to be like, well, it blows them away. People are genuinely surprised when Christian folk take the time just to be real. Just to come down off our mighty stoop, proud position, and come down and just be real. Ain't that right, my brother? Just be real. Just be real. And not judge people, but just show them love. So this woman, I'm getting there. I got to get there. This woman, the Word of God says, John 4:9, was surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. For Christians refused to have anything to do with sinners. Whoa! Man, she said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? I've literally heard people. I know he has. Some of you have too. I've literally heard people say, why do you care about me? Why do you care? Why do you keep texting me? Why don't you just let me slip away into my pain? Why do you care about me? I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. I don't have it all figured out yet. I'm not here at the right time. I don't look the right part. I'm not beautiful. I'm not a virgin. I've got scars. I've sinned. I've had a needle in my arm. I've been in strange beds. I've done bad things. Why do you care about me? Why do you care about me? 2,000 years of religion up until Christ, they didn't care about these people. 2,000 years of religion. I'm sorry if I'm getting angry, but religion makes me mad. It makes me mad. A righteous indignation towards people who look down their noses at other people. 2,000 years of religion leaving people out and avoiding people because they didn't fit the part. And yes, we're talking about addicts. Yes, we're talking about prostitutes. Yes, we're talking about workaholics. Yes, we're talking about depressed people. Yes, we're talking about prideful people. Yes, we're talking about people who worship hobbies. Yes, we're talking about people that worship relationships. Yes, we're talking about people who won't get out of drama. Yes, we're talking about people that look nice, but they sit in the pew and they feel like no ministry that they could ever contribute to. And they're surprised when you just go to them and say, we need you. Me? Nobody's ever asked me. I didn't think I had a purpose. I didn't think I had a calling. I'm just me. 2,000 years of religion, and Jesus went to her and it blew her mind. It shocked her. And he said, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Some of you here, you're in a place where you just don't know, you know, all this stuff, and you're not sure about your purpose. If you only knew who was before you today, you say, well, I don't see an old crazy lawyer. Don't look at me. If you only knew who was here today, and he's asking you, do you want some living water? Do you want living water? You see, there's a double meaning there. There's a double meaning there. They were at Jacob's well. And Jacob's well was a still well, meaning the water just collected. There was another kind of water that they call living water or running water, which would be spring-fed water. It was a better water. It was a better source of water. So what this woman, she got confused. She go, what are you talking about? Running water? There ain't no water around this part. Some of you ain't seen water in a while. You're in a dry land. You're in a dry land. And you've been drinking stank, stagnant water. And you're okay with it. You're used to it. You're accustomed to it because that's all there is. That's all you've seen. You've not seen any running fresh water in a while, some of you. New water. Some of you have been drinking out of that same old pool. Yeah, you had a pool. You had a moment. And it was great. And it was grand. But some of you stayed there. And you're drinking stank water. It's time for some new water. So the woman said, whoa, what are you talking about? Sir, you don't have a rope. Sir, this well is very deep. Sir, where would you get this living water? Sir, do you think you're greater than Jacob who gave us this water? In other words, this water's been good enough for us. This water's been good enough for us. My situation is good enough. I think, don't lose it, I think I'll settle for where I am. I'll just settle. I think God's talking to someone on that point. I think I'll settle for what I am. I am what I am. I've always been. This is how I do it. This is how I play church. This is how I play religion. This is my little gig. I'll keep drinking skank water. Because don't you know my circumstances? So what does she do? She throws her circumstances up at Jesus. We all want to throw our circumstances. How, there's so many people want me to, and I don't mean this in a bad way, they want discipleship. But do you really want discipleship? Or do you want me just to pat you on the back and say, yeah, you're doing right? Because that's not discipleship. Me telling you, yeah, Jace, man, you just keep doing it, man. I mean, is that what you really want me to sit? I mean, we want to sit an hour and talk about that? I mean, really, honestly, let me be honest, right? No. See, everybody's about discipleship, so discipleship means I have to tell you the truth. Everybody's about discipleship till it hurts. Till it hurts, till it doesn't fit, till it doesn't feel good. Then we're not about discipleship. That preacher, he's meddling. He don't like me. He's mean to me. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. At least you're still laughing. Nobody's threw nothing at me. I do love you. But you know, I signed a graduation card. I've signed about 30. I have signed a lot of graduation cards. When you coach ball as many years as I've coached, you'll get waves. And I wrote in that card to a young lady. I said, tough love is the only real love. Because if I don't love you enough to be honest with you, that means I care more about your opinion of me than about your soul. If I don't love you enough to make you mad if it's the truth and God puts it on my heart, that means I just care more about me, selfishly. I just want you to like me instead of telling you the truth. Tough love's the only real love. So she threw up all these circumstances to Jesus. You don't understand my circumstances, Jesus. Some of you here are tuning me out because of your circumstances. I'm too smart. I got it all figured out, really. Oh, really? I'm not going there. I don't want to. I'm not going there. Oh, really? Some of us, me too, we think we have it all figured out. I'm not just yelling at you guys. This is me. This was me for 38 years. Thought I was too good for this church. Thought I was too good for anything he was about. Thought I was too smart. Don't they know? Okay, I can show you my accomplishments. Don't they know? I thought I had it all figured out. I threw up my circumstances and limitations as to why I couldn't be about this. Why I would never be about this. Gave them all kinds of reasons. Don't have a rope. It don't make no sense. There is no such water. My life is good enough. I don't want any of that. It's not real. I don't even know if it's true. I don't understand it. So we throw up our circumstances at Jesus. Here she was. She was hurting. She wasn't happy. You know what my response to people like that is? If you're in here and you're already giving up excuses, just ask yourself this question. Am I truly happy? If you're truly happy, you don't want to change a thing. You're just 100% happy with your life. Destiny dripping off you. You just love it. You just are so happy with your life. It's perfect. You don't have a worry in the world. Then get up and leave. You're all right. But it seems to me the people who give me all those excuses are miserable people. And they're not happy. And they're searching for something. And so you have to get to a point where you throw away excuses. And you just say, you know what? I don't understand it. I don't know if it'll work. But I'm desperate enough to try it. Today I truly turned it over to God. I've said this many times. I had no idea if it'd work. I had not that much knowledge about this stuff. I'd never raised my hand in a church. I'd never bounced in a church. I'd never done any of this stuff. We'd never crossed this bridge. I sat right here, and I didn't know if it would work. But I knew that I was a miserable, depressed, workaholic, prideful, family-falling apart person. And the world looked at me and said, he's got it made. He's got everything. But inside I was hurting. And inside, I was desperate enough to not care for one time what everybody else thought. For 38 years, I lived my life worried about what everybody else thought of me. And for one second, I said, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm thirsty. I am thirsty. So Jesus replied, anyone who drinks the water will soon become thirsty again, this water. But those who drink the water I give shall never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring from within them, giving them eternal life. And that's where that woman ended up. I'm not pointing at you, Joyce, but I see me right there because that was where I was sitting. Some of you need to get out of this physical, I'm just worried about what everybody's doing here and looking at everything. And you know what? When I look right here, I don't see Joyce. I see me. Because I still remember like yesterday. Some of you, that's where we mess up. And I've messed up that way. We get to a point where we start to want to go back because we forget how miserable we were. But I remember how miserable I was sitting right there. I remember how I felt. So whenever the enemy gets in your head and says, quit, stop climbing that mountain, you remember how miserable you were. You remember how you cried on an altar and begged God to change your life. Some of you didn't want to live and you told me that. Remember that. Don't you let that leave your mind. Ingrain that in your soul. Don't you forget that. Because I remember it. I remember having that feeling. Well, one time my pride got broke down, and that's where this woman is, and she finally breaks. She gives me all the excuses, and she breaks, and she said, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. See, she was a thirsty woman. She was a desperate woman. See, how you know that? Well, if you read on, I don't have a husband. Don't get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. You're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You've certainly spoke the truth. Now, understand this. This is not to make somebody necessarily feel bad, but we have to confront our situation. We have to be honest with our situation. But what this does also conveys, it conveys the situation she was in. She was a desperate woman. Desperate. Because she kept going man to man, and men do this too. It's just some reason. You know what? I'm not about that. If you're out there on the internet and you think a woman is a bad word because she's done this or that, what have you done? Works two ways. What have you done? It works two ways. But here's the point. There's a vacancy in her life sometimes. And that's really what this story's about. There's a hole in her life. And we'll be thirsty for as long as we leave that hole empty. And you know what we try to do? You ever been really thirsty? And you've played, you know, guys can relate to this, girls maybe too, but when you've played ball outside or whatever you've done, and you're just so thirsty, and you really want water, and you can't get water, and you drink a Coke. Anybody ever done that? A soda of some sort, a soda. Anybody ever done that? It's horrible. It doesn't satisfy you. It's like you just drink it, and you drink it, and you can almost drink and get sick. You can keep drinking, trying to cure that thirst. You can get a 2-liter, and you can chug it up. But it doesn't satisfy. And so what this lady had done, and many of us have done, see, I'm that lady. I'm that lady. What many of us have done is we crammed other things in our life. Some of them bad things. But you know what? Some of them good things. Good things. But not God things. I've done just about everything at one point or the other. A lot of good things in my life and a lot of bad things in my life. But I never really got to a God thing until I drank that living water sitting right there 5 years ago. She had that void in her life and she kept trying to find something to satisfy. And you can watch people do that. I mean, I've got friends, I watch them. They take up golf, man. They're going to change the world. They go get golf lessons. They go pay $1,000 for clubs. They get the whole outfit. They look like Payne Stewart. They got the checker pants and the little noggin. And boy, they look like they're pros, you know. 6 months, they quit. 6 months, they quit. Oh, and then I'm on a bicycle. And then I go get, I look like Lance Armstrong. I see these cats riding around. And maybe some of you are out here. That's God bless you. I love you. That's awesome. You look like you're a pro. You got all the outfit on. You got yellow and black and red. And I don't know. Are you running the Tour de France? Maybe the Tour de France. They're running the Tour de Guess River up my neighborhood, I think. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You ever wondered? That'd be like me going to a ball game, Kelly. We're going to go see the Reds play. And I put on my leggings, and I put on the full outfit, and the warm-up suit, and got my glove, got my wristbands. Come on, man, I'm a fan. Put you on a t-shirt and ride a bike. But they try that. I'm just joking. But they try that 6 months. And then they're going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, right, Odie? I'm going to go to GNC, man. I'm going to go to GNC. And I'm going to get this. And I'm going to get big as a house, man. Right. And then here, they quit. You've seen it. They come to the gym. Bro, what do I need to do, bro? How much you bench, bro? How much you bench, man? And then 3 months, they're gone. Maybe this drug will make me forget. Maybe it won't hurt as bad. Maybe if I can just sleep. Maybe if I can just sleep. God wants me to sleep. Maybe this relationship. Maybe I'm just lonely. Maybe I need a woman or I need a man in this relationship. Maybe if I just give all myself to this person, maybe that'll make me happy. Maybe that'll make me happy. I'm here to tell you, husband one didn't make her happy. Husband two didn't make her happy. Husband three didn't make her happy. Husband four didn't make her happy. Husband five didn't make her happy. The man she was living with didn't make her happy. You can keep going to the well. You see, last week, I don't know if y'all caught this. We didn't cover it, but I told you specifically that the servant went to the noon, went to the well in the evening time because that's when respectable women went. This story here, Jesus went to the well at noontime. That means there were no groups of women. That was a time you wouldn't normally see a respectable woman. It's when the workers, the traveling men, would come by and stop looking for a drink. There's a strong implication that that woman was looking for another man. Why else would she be there at noontime? Friend, we can keep going to the well at noontime. We can keep going for relationships. We can keep going for good things. We can keep going to drugs. We can keep going to sex. We can keep going to hobbies. We can keep going to religion. We can keep going to science. We can keep going to our hobbies and all these other things. We can go to sin. We can go to good things. We can go to everything. But you're not going to find satisfaction in these things. You're going to be empty. You can go to the mall. You can shop till you drop. You can put up $40,000 of credit card debt trying to put salve on a hurt. But deep down inside, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be satisfied until you get the real deal. So he confronted her and he told her all that. She said, "Sir, you must be a prophet." So what does she do? He got real with her. Preacher gets real with me. Some of you, I've been real with you. So she puts up a religious wall. She says, "Oh, the Jews pray here and we pray there. I don't understand." So they, you know, some of you do that. They come, they find, they get hooked up, but then they put up religious walls. "Well, I don't understand why you do that. In my denomination, we don't do this, we don't do that." So she puts up a religious wall. Puts up a religious wall. Some other reason just to try to let him in. Religious confusion, and Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when there will no longer be matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes to the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is a spirit. For those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." All that don't matter. It's just confusion. It's just walls. We're hurt. I want you to pay attention to something. Rebecca was helpful. "Rebecca, give me a drink. Here's everything. Here, let me feed your camels." But this woman, this bride that Jesus went looking for, she was hateful. She was cantankerous. She put up a wall. "You don't understand my religion. Oh, I got all these excuses." She wasn't very helpful to Jesus. Think about it. We go out and we complain because we minister to somebody and they're got a little. You know, you minister to cactuses, they have pricks on them. You hug a cactus, it hurts. Somebody said that Sigmund and Roy, or whatever that dude's name was. Somebody said that tiger went crazy. It ate that man. Ain't that poor woman just, that tiger went tiger. He didn't go crazy. That's what tigers do. We go out there and we go amongst the hurting. We go amongst the drug addicts. We go against the sinners. And we think they're going to be just rosy and helpful and happy and perfect. It's going to hurt sometimes. You're going to get hurt sometimes. You're going to get a few pricks in your skin sometimes. But you've got to be willing to take a chance and put your heart out. And if you get let down, so be it. But you got to try to reach them because Jesus had to go. So the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. I know a little bit. I know a little bit. I don't know much, but I know a little bit. You know what I know? He is the Messiah. He is the real deal. I can take a logical proof and I can show you why it takes more faith to believe in many other theories than that one. And other people make their own theories. I believe God knows my heart. I believe this kind of God and I believe that kind of God. You know what you're doing logically? You're making your own God. You're your God. Because if you define it, if you define your God, if you invent your God, this is how God is, then you're greater than Him. You've invented your own God. It takes less faith to just believe a source that is tested and witnessed. And you can hear people who get up and give testimonies of the realness of it. Sometimes you just got to take the testimony of people. Our history books are based on testimony. They didn't have video 1,000 years ago. But we read about Caesar. We read about Napoleon based on testimony. And it seems to me atheists aren't anti-God. They're anti-Jesus because they don't pick at the Hindus and they don't pick at the Buddhas. They just pick at the one true God, Jesus Christ. Oh. So Jesus looked at her, and this is where we're going to, the wedding. She wasn't a virgin. She wasn't at the right place. And she wasn't very helpful. She had walls. She had hurts. She had hang-ups. But she was thirsty. And he looked at her and he said, I am the Messiah. Oh, some of you, didn't plan this sermon, but some of you just need to sit right there 1 second. You need to let that resonate. I am the Messiah. I am who I am. The great I am. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I am the Messiah. You're here and you're thirsty. You say, I don't know. I don't know if God can use me. And you know, sometimes we're guilty of just making it about certain sins. And yes, we're all about, I mean, I thank God we've got lots of people in here delivered from drug addiction. Some of you say, I don't know if I can do it, but I'm telling you, I've got people. I tell you what, why do you have to hear from me? I want some people, and I don't want you to stand up if you're still, if you've been delivered from drug addiction, I want you to stand up right now. Stand up. I want you to look right now. I want you to look. Thank you. Thank you. But you know, there's all kinds of other hurts that we leave out. And sometimes we can hear these sermons and we can say, oh, isn't that great? Man, Heath preaches to those prisoners. Heath preaches to those drug addicts and alcoholics. But we fail to see the emptiness in our own life. It don't always your emptiness don't look like my emptiness. My emptiness was not, I'm not saying I've not messed around with lots of stuff, but my emptiness was really not about a drug. But that doesn't mean my emptiness hurt any less or was any less deep. I was still searching just as hard, and I still crammed as much or more in there than most people. looking for something to make it feel good. But it wasn't until I was introduced to the Messiah. So then when the disciples came back and they were shocked to see him talking to that woman, what do you want with her? This is what the Bible says. Why are you talking to her? But they didn't have the nerve to ask him that. But that's what they were saying among themselves. Why are you talking to those people? We got ministries, and God bless them. I love lots of ministries. I got ministries that are friends. But we got ministries that send us people because they say those are Lost Creek people. In a way, I take that as a compliment. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's... I got to be careful. And I know what they mean, and it's okay. I know what they mean. Sometimes there's people you can reach that other people can't reach. But I also wonder how many of it, for some cases, is because they don't want to take the time to love them themselves. Why don't you love them, man? I'll take them. Send them all to me. But why don't you get off your high horse and love somebody? I don't know if I should have said that.
Too late now.
Fire! So they didn't have the nerve to ask Jesus. You know what? That happens in churches. Even this ministry, I bet. There's people say, I just don't know. Why do they do this? And why do they do this? They don't have the nerve to come ask me. But they say that kind of stuff, I wonder. I hope you all don't. I really do. I really hope you don't. Because I think you guys are awesome people. I think you're awesome. We're not there yet. We got a long way to go. But I really believe that we're going somewhere. And I really believe we're going somewhere together. I don't believe I'm out here by myself under my juniper tree. I believe there's an army. Like Josh said, I'm going to have a hard time keeping up. Some of you young bucks are going to have to pick me up at some point and carry me because I'm getting older. But you will carry the fire and you will get there. I promise you. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. If you don't quit, you are going somewhere. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than a family. It's bigger than a couple people. You haven't seen nothing yet. I don't know why God won't let me get out of my mind. But he's telling me in my spirit. Some of you say, boy, that heat's fiery. You've not seen nothing yet. Wait till the next wave hits. And I just want to see a little bit of it. I just want to see it. Even if I'm not strong enough to get up anymore. I want to see it. Oh, I thank God for my brother Billy. I thank God for him. His body may not be as strong as some of you young guys, but he's seeing it. He's seeing it. And he's praying for it. And he's a part of it. And he's going in. And now I want that to be me. You haven't seen nothing yet. So they didn't have the nerve to say, what are you doing with her? But they wondered that. And the woman left her water jar beside the well. And she ran back to the village. And we are coming to a close. Some of you have got a water jar. You've got a jar you've been carrying around for a long time. And you've been pouring all kinds of stuff in it. You've been pouring all kinds of stuff in it. Stay with me. We're ending right here. Can you see your jar? I don't want you to be distracted right now. I want you to see your jar. See your jar. We got to see sometimes in a spiritual. We get too caught up in physical. So right now, see your jar. See what you've been carrying around. Some of you's gotten heavy. How many of you done that? You've been on a trip. Some of y'all went to Dollywood and celebrated a graduation. And that's awesome. But if you carry a bag around a place like that, it gets heavy. They used to have video cameras. My family were nuts. We used to take video cameras. They had a camera this big we'd carry around. It weighed 800 pounds. Whoa, man, let's make some memories. No, let's see a chiropractor. It wore our backs out. Some of y'all remember them 800-pound cameras? Yeah. WCYB. We're plugging them, huh? No. But your jar gets heavy. Your jar gets heavy. Life gets heavy. I want you to see your jar right now. Last thing we're going to do, I want you to see your jar. And I ask you this serious question. Serious question. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Because I'm going to tell you something. The enemy don't want change today. The enemy does not want change today. He wants people to have a nice little church service and go eat out and go leave the same way they came and be miserable. So I want you to close your eyes and I want you to see your jar. And I want you to ask yourself a real question. What's in it? What have you been seeking to make you happy? Real question. You notice I'm not asking if you said a prayer. I think we're getting out of this for a little while. God's really dealing with me about that. Because I think God wants to see change because that's what His gospel says. So I want to ask you, what are you putting in your jar? What sort of things are you putting in your jar? Good things? Bad things? Neutral things? She came across a real Jesus. And all of a sudden, that jar didn't become important anymore. She threw her jar down. And she ran back to her village. And this little lady, who many have called a prostitute, I can't go that far, but I know she'd been around. Her eyes probably weren't as bright as they were when she was young. She had a few wrinkles, I would bet. Now, man, if you put up with five men, my wife didn't have wrinkles to me. If you put up with five men, six men now, you know you're going to have some wrinkles. You're going to have some stress. Her eyes probably weren't as bright. She was probably a little more worn. She was probably a little more tired. She was probably a little more fatigued. Her body was starting probably to break down. Spiritually, she was probably starting to break down. She'd been through all this junk. She'd had all this baggage. She'd carried this jar so long, she was tired. She was tired. Is anybody here tired? You're tired of the jar. You're tired of the stress. You're tired of the emptiness. You're tired of the loneliness. Is there anybody tired? So this lady threw down her jar. And she ran back and became the first evangelist of the Bible. The first evangelist of the New Testament. You say, I'm not qualified. I'm a nobody. The first evangelist of this Bible was a little lady at a well who had been with many men and really stressed out, tired, wore out, hateful, aggravated, argued with Jesus, wasn't too helpful, sure wasn't a virgin, there at the wrong time, wrong circumstances. Everything was wrong except He was right. He was right. So nobody's looking around. If you're carrying a jar and you know it, would you just be honest and raise your hand with me? And nobody's looking around. God bless that hand. 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 Somebody else. I'm carrying a jar and it's getting heavy. God bless. God bless. It's getting heavy. Oh, maybe I've been to an altar and maybe I've prayed a prayer, but I know I'm carrying a jar. It's getting heavy. Somebody else right now. There's been hands all over. Be honest. Are there any thirsty people? You're tired, yes, but you're thirsty. Raise your hand with me right now. God bless. God bless. Now here's what I'm going to challenge. Nobody's looking. God bless. More hands. God bless. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Again, remember what we started with, three weddings. We did a wedding last week. We've done a wedding. You said it didn't look like a wedding. It was a beautiful wedding, my friend. Because the woman who couldn't find happiness found it all when she became the bride. He wants you to be His bride. He wants you to throw down that jar that's been wiring you out and tiring you out. He wants you to throw that down and leave it. You won't even remember that thing. He wants you to throw it down. And He just wants to take you, give you a drink today. He wants you to be His. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. God won't let me give that word up. Those people don't want it. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. You say, nobody's ever wanted me. He wants you. Nobody ever asked me to help in a church. He wants you. He wants you. Now, last time, if you raise your hand at all, raise it again. I want you to raise it high. Nobody's looking. If you've already raised it, raise it again. High, 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 high. I want you to tell right now to Jesus. You say, I'm thirsty, Jesus. Raise it high. Raise it high. If you're tired, switch hands. I'm thirsty, Jesus. I want it, Jesus. I'm tired of this jar, Jesus. Whatever it was, whatever it is, it may be different. They're all different. They're all different jars, but I'm tired of the jar. Here's what I'm going to do. Keep them high. Nobody's looking. I want every head bowed. Every head bowed. I'm going to count to three. We're having a wedding. As soon as I hit the third number, I want every hand that's raised, I want you to come to the well. I want you to come up here and say, why? Are you going to hurt? No, I'm going to pray with you. We're going to pray and we're going to get a drink together. And you're not going to be alone. The devil's telling you you're alone. There's hands up. Hands up. Keep them up. Don't get tired. Keep them up. If you've been to the altar 100 times, today's 101. But I want to see it. Are you ready? One. Two. I ain't messing around today. Who's thirsty? Come on. Three. Come on. All those hands, just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Yes. Come on up. 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 Who's thirsty? Who's thirsty? Who's thirsty? You see, the thing about this story, and there's a lot of powerful things happening at this altar. The thing about this story is this. This bride didn't look like the other bride we talked about last Sunday. This bride didn't look the part. This bride was hurt. This bride was tired. This bride was worn. This bride had a few miles on her. This bride was hurting inside. This bride put up walls. So if you're in here and you're struggling, you say, I don't know about this. Just be desperate enough to try. Just be desperate enough to try. Be desperate enough to come and say, I don't know if it's going to work. You might be a crazy preacher and you may be nuts and it may not work, but I'm going to try. If you're in here and you've been on the road, but you know you've been tired, you've been starting to grow weary, and you started to wonder about picking up a jar, God says, throw it down, come back. Come on up to this altar again. Don't leave this altar. Don't leave this place the same as you came. Come get a drink. Come get a drink.
Sacrifice. You provide the spirit, and I will open up myself.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord.
Let's stand with him today and just worship God one last moment right here in the presence of Jesus. Come on. If you still want to pray, this altar's open. Come on.